And turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and that's tucked towards the back of the New Testament. Let me give you a little quick background on what we're going to be studying today and why I felt led to preach from this portion of Scripture. As far as I know, this is just a standalone message, and Lord willing, next week Pastor Gary is going to be preaching. Looking forward to that. The book of Thessalonians is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica, which he established on his second missionary journey. This church, this new established church, was experiencing growth and excitement and just seeing the Lord do a great work in that city. But they were also embattled. They were embattled with persecution, with intense spiritual attacks. And so the Apostle Paul writes this letter to these young Christians, these young Christ followers, this young church, and these young believers to keep them grounded in their faith and encourage them to stay the course and not be blindsided by the enemy during blessed times. And although we are in challenging times and we are in difficult times in our nation, in our own city, in our world, we are still so very blessed. We are blessed people. And so I want to make sure that coming off of a service like last Sunday, when it was so blessed and it was so exciting and it was so life-changing for so many people, that we do not begin to coast and become blindsided in blessed times by the enemy. Let me give you just a couple of examples. First, in the Old Testament, you'll remember that right after the greatest victory he had ever experienced in his life, that great prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel, over 400 false, wicked, evil prophets of Baal, and one man took a stand and was victorious over them, and God did an amazing work. Fire was coming down from heaven on the altar. His presence was so mighty. It was an exciting time, an incredible time of the power of God on display. And yet in 1 Corinthians 19, right after that, the follow-up to that great victory, there was a wicked woman, a queen named Jezebel, who said, "I am going to take this man out." She began to hunt him and hound him right after one of the most exciting, great experiences of his life. And he was so depressed and discouraged, he asked God to take his life right after such a momentous, exciting time in his life. An example in the New Testament would be just after the church got started. And we touched on this a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 2. And there's all of this excitement, and there's this momentum, and there's this energy, and there's this the presence of the Holy Spirit has come down and is resting upon God's people in a new and a fresh way. And the world, the Bible says, is being turned upside down for the glory of God. And yet when you get to Acts chapter 7, just as the church is taking off, you find the stoning of a godly man named Stephen, who's just preaching the gospel, loving the lost, and they killed him for it. And at such an exciting time, there was heartache and there was pain that racked the church, and he was the first martyr for Christ from the conception of the church. And then fast forward to more modern times, our own nation, the United States of America. And just 6 days after the Civil War, after it ended and freedom was ringing and slavery was beginning to be abolished, on April 15th, 1865, 6 days after one of the greatest victories in our nation, Abraham Lincoln was shot in the back of the head and assassinated for his victory with the Emancipation Proclamation. And our nation was blindsided by that tragedy, in good and in blessed times. And even here with our own church family, again, as we have celebrated another milestone, another anniversary, and see Elisha back there getting baptized, and so many, and the Raritan kids, and just here this morning, just so grateful for how God is moving. But I felt compelled this week to just preach a message of encouragement, of edification, and of admonition, that as we are still sensing the residue on our hearts from last week, it's still there. So I've been getting texts all week long from different people in our church, and just how the Lord is using that service. I tell you what, if you could know some of the backstories and some of the salvations that took place last Sunday, as people were in this sanctuary watching people get baptized, is phenomenal. And very, very grateful for it. But when the Lord is moving in blessed ways and in fresh ways, it stirs up the enemy. And he will at times counter and respond. And if we're not careful, we can be blindsided by the enemy. So I want to encourage you this morning to stay on mission. Stay on mission. Don't let down our guard. Don't rest on our laurels. And don't be blindsided by the enemy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to spend the majority of our time this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5, but there's a buildup as Paul's closing out this first letter in chapter 5. There's this buildup that I just did not want to skip over. It's so good and it's so needed. And he gives us as he's closing out this letter, some fatherly wisdom to these young Christians. He's giving some comfort and encouragement. And then he closes out with a charge to these people. Beginning in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you," this is urgent, pay attention, let your ears perk up. "But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." If you like to underline, that would be good. Urge you, increase, more, more. "That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands." You look at what we've experienced as a nation and all the people that have dropped out of the workforce, either involuntarily or voluntarily, and yet this great struggle we have for people to re-engage and work with their own hands. "Work with your own hands as we commanded you," Paul continues, verse 12, "that you may walk properly, that you may walk godly, that you may have a good, strong testimony towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Let's just mention some names. Marilyn Reeser, Josh Taylor, Phil Jansma, Tone Badeau, Joe Larmer, and on and on. And as this virus and pandemic continues to go, we have lost many people that we love during this time. And yet during the burden, look what Paul says, "Don't be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." That is not us, church. That is not us. That's not how we sorrow. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? We know where they are. And one of these days we're going to meet them. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord," he is coming, "until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself," aren't you glad it says the Lord himself, not an angel, not a prophet, not somebody from the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is coming for his church. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We shall always, 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 forever and ever, for all of eternity, be with our Savior. Isn't that good? We shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I hope when you walk out of here today that you have a calmness, a courageousness, a settledness, a contentedness, and a calm, settled comfort that Jesus knows your name. He loves you, and He's coming back for you. And until He does, Paul's going to give us a charge here in these next few verses. But let's first pray. And Father, we do thank You that we serve not only a risen Savior, but we serve a returning Savior. We serve a Christ, a Lord, a Savior, a Master, a Creator, a God, the only God, who is second to none. As Isaiah said, seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of Your robe fills the temple this morning in heaven. And You are victorious, and You are seated because You are not sorrowful, and You are seated because You are not striving, and You are seated because You are not, Lord, anxious and worried, but You are seated because You are in all pomp and power, and the angels, and the elders, and the beasts, and the saints are bowing down today with that trinity of words, holy, 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 night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night. Your victory and Your majesty are proclaimed. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, that's in the past, who is, that's in the present. And as we just read, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is to come. And Lord, it is in that comfort, it is in that reality that we pray today, and that we stand today, and that we stay on mission and not allow the enemy to set a snare and a trap for us and deceive us. So may today we be strong in the Lord. We humble ourselves before You, Lord. We cry out in me, in my flesh, dwells nothing good. And yet when we are filled with You, Holy Spirit, we move to the next chapter in Romans 8 that says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so through Christ we can continue to stay on mission. Lord, when we experience victories, oftentimes the enemy is just waiting with a big wet blanket to discourage us. May it not be so. And may we walk out of here today with confidence, courage, and comfort that, Lord, the mission You've called us to will continue until You call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say five things this morning as we get into chapter 5. The first is this: you have been enlisted. You have been enlisted and engaged. Stay on mission. You have been enlisted, stay on mission. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say," the world says, "peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." When the Apostle Paul references the day of the Lord here, those words, the day of the Lord, he is speaking of the great tribulation, that 7-year period where God's wrath is going to be unleashed on the world and on lost sinners who choose to reject him and do not receive his salvation. We believe here at Chapel Hill that the day that Christ is going to unleash the great tribulation, before that, he is going to rapture his church and we are out of here. He's going to take us home and we're going to be safe before the sorrow and the unleashing begins. And once we are on our way and we meet the Lord in the air and he takes us home and we meet together with Josh Taylor and Marilyn Reeser and all of these people over the years that have gone on before us, that is going to be the commencement of the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. And Paul is saying to the church here, look, you know because we have God's word, you know what's coming. So you ought not to be blindsided. You know perfectly what's going on. You have been clued in by my word. This lost world that is opposing Christ is saying, it's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. Now, we got to deal with this COVID problem and this pandemic, and it's been hard and hurtful and sorrowful. But that, you know, that's all the media's talking about. It's just, you know, the COVID-19 and all this. But once we get past that, the Bible says the world is saying a peace and safety with an exclamation point. We're fine. Everything's fine. And the Bible says that the day of the Lord is going to hit them out of nowhere like a pregnant woman who's ready to give birth. Although our world would maybe want to tell me that I could experience this if I wanted to, I'm just telling you, I thank the Lord, got a praise report. I don't know what that's like. Okay? But there are dozens and dozens of people sitting in this sanctuary this morning. You know what that's like. Some would just like to stand, some of you ladies, and say, I can just testify. It's going to be terrible. The world has no idea what's getting ready to hit them. But the Bible says that that's just the arrogance and the ignorance of the world. Everything's fine. And then, there we go. And it's game on. And it says that sudden destruction will come upon them, and they shall not escape. That ought to excite us that we will be out of here, but that also ought to convict us and stir our hearts that there's going to be souls that will not escape. They will be left behind. And so we've got to stay on mission. We've got a job to do. And we have a calling. We have a purpose. But Paul says here, look, you're not ignorant. We know what's going on. We know what's at stake. We are the people of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are the company and the regiment of the Lord's army. And we know there is life beyond the grave. You, if you are a Christ follower, have been enlisted. You've been enlisted. And you are to be engaged. And Paul says here, stay on mission. Secondly, verse 4, the next thing Paul says is, you have been enlightened. Stay on mission. Look at verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walking about, roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. So Paul says, look, we are not of the night. We are of the light. We are of the day. So stay on mission. My family used to travel and sing. And this is one of the just best songs we would sing. I remember singing this in the 80s and people would get so excited. I tell you, this is more relevant in the 2020s than it's ever been. Listen to these words. I would start out, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I'm walking with Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, he is the light. In him is no darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light when I walk with him. And then the tenor, my brother Danny would kick in. The outlook is dark. Man, he could sing high. Listen to these words. The outlook is dark. And it is dark out here. It is dark. The outlook is dark. But as Pastor Dan would say, keep looking up. Get your chin up. The outlook is dark, but bright is the uplook. I lift my eyes upward, and there is the light. He says, don't despair. Cast on me your care. The forces of night just can't stand the light when Jesus is there. Great lyrics, great song. And that's what Paul is saying. We're not of the night. We're of the light. So stay on mission. Stay on mission. I want you to turn to 1 John. Go to Revelation. Work back a couple of books to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. If you need a word from the Lord in this dark time, this is certainly one of them. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, this is the message. Do you need a word from the Lord? This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. One of my favorite verses, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want to challenge you today, church, you have been enlightened. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. If you're in sin, get out of the darkness, walk in the light. If you're hiding anything, remember that statement that says, whatever we cover, God will uncover. Whatever we are obedient and surrendered and willing to uncover, the Bible says that the blood of Christ will cover it. So we have been enlightened with truth. Walk in the truth and stay on mission. Number 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, you have been empowered. You have been empowered. Stay on mission. These words are so loaded. I just about flipped my spiritual lid when I read this week, and the joy flowed out. Look what it says. But let us who are of the day be sober, armor up, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope. Some of you need to put on the helmet of hope. Some of you need to put on the helmet that we are more than conquerors. Some of you need to put on the helmet of a positive perspective. That the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. A helmet of hope. Put a helmet on. But what is it? The helmet of salvation. Paul continues, for God did not appoint us to wrath. We're not going to be here when the wrath is unleashed. But He has obtained for us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Those are loaded, explosive, empowering, exciting words. You have been empowered with the hope of the gospel. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Armor up. Strap on the helmet. Grab the sword of the Lord and stay on mission. And do what God has called us to do. A good reference to this would be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul tells a young preacher, he says this, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a right thinking mind, of a sound mind. We can be people of sound mind. Amen? We can think right. We can think right because our hearts are right. And so you have been empowered. Stay on mission. Number 4. With that in mind, we've been enlisted, we are engaged. Stay on mission. We have been enlightened. We know the truth. So stay on mission. And we have been empowered. We have the presence and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit of God living in. Is that not incredible? Folks, listen, there's so much excitement in my heart this morning that we are the people of God. Terry is doing what we're getting ready to preach on. She came up to me this morning and she said, "I just want you to know, I have been encouraged all week to hear you preach." And I said, "Would you mind just going over there and over there and over there and over there and just stir up the body of Christ with excitement?" I said, "You've already preached my message today." Because the follow-up to everything that Paul is encouraging us in to stay on mission, then he says this, encourage one another. Encourage one another and stay on mission. Look at verse 11. It says, "After all of that, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another." I want to show you the definition of these words and their original meaning in the Greek. That word comfort means this, to call to one's side. You see those brothers in arms? The one is going through something tragic, more than likely lost a brother in the battle. And he's struggling and he's overwhelmed and he's not of sound mind. And he doesn't have on the hope of the helmet of salvation. And he's stumbling and he's struggling and he's full of sorrow. And there is a brother in the Lord, and he calls him to his side, and he puts his arm around him, and he says, "Brother, I'm here to encourage you, stay on mission. You be strong in the Lord, stay on mission." And then it also means to encourage and strengthen by consolation. Boy, how we can shoot our own at times, and at times shoot our wounded. And we, in our flesh, want to compete with one another and complain against one another and keep score with one another. And yet when we are walking in the Spirit, the Bible says, you comfort one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, and console one another. Quit complaining with each other. Quit comparing yourself with one another. Quit competing with each other. Our standard is Christ. Our focus is Christ. Our calling is to Christ. And he says, so comfort, encourage one another, and for God's sake, stay on mission. Comfort. And then he says, edify. And this word means to build up, to construct, to establish, to restore. It also can mean to rebuild, to repair. And then it can mean to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness. And I like this one. It means to embolden. To embolden. You need to embolden your brothers in Christ. Ladies, you need to embolden your sisters in Christ. And just encourage them and edify them to stay on mission. In the late 1980s and early 90s, when my family used to travel and sing in churches, and Dad would preach, and we had a ministry to the high legislature and to churches, and we met an evangelist named Tim Lee, a Marine who fought in the Vietnam War. On at least a couple of occasions during our ministry, our little family of five, before Marcy, We would sing before Tim Lee would preach. And here's a picture just for you to get an idea of what it used to look like. There's Lindsay to your right holding an American flag. There's Gibbs, me, holding the flag. And then there's Danny holding the Bible. And we would sing these patriotic medleys. And when we got to the chorus, I would start out singing, "Mine eyes have seen the glory." And then we get to the chorus and those flags would shoot up and the Bible would shoot up and we're singing, "America, America, God shed his grace on thee." and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And I mean, people just went nuts seeing these people. We sang in North Carolina. They had an auditorium, a camp meeting, a tent style deal, and the whole floor was sawdust. And I remember standing up there singing, hundreds of people out there, just a mass of people. We started singing that, raising the flag, raising the Bible. Sawdust just started flying. People were screaming, yelling, all excited, fired up for God and country. I think it was at that one that they were raising their hands, and I was probably 7 or 8. And I told Dad after the service, I said, Dad, one of those guys out there was waving at me. But I didn't wave back. And so we got a lot of people fired up and excited. We come from a great heritage of my grandfather and my great uncle my great uncle gave his life for our nation. And my grandfather, Papa Wisner, was a drill sergeant. So we've always had this just like you with your family. And Shirley back there, whose dad gave his life for our country. She didn't know her dad. She was 2 years old. And yet through that, we would encourage the body of Christ. And then Tim Lee would come strolling up. And on March 8th, 1971, Sergeant Tim Lee was walking point with his platoon of men. And he stepped on a 60-pound box mine, and it blew both of his legs off of his body. And here's a picture of Tim standing tall in 1971, and a few days later, he would never have his legs again. The next memory that Tim had when that box mine went off was his head laying in the lap of one of his best friends, Corporal Lee Gore. As Tim lay dying in Gore's lap, Gore, who was a strong Christian, was praying out loud for God to spare his friend's life. He flew with Tim on the medic chopper to the hospital ship, and that was the last time that Lee Gore saw Tim Lee. Tim was in the hospital for 8 months and had 13 major surgeries and would be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. 2 years later, 1973, Tim was called to preach and began traveling the nation telling his story and preaching the gospel. For 13 years, Corporal Lee Gore thought that Tim Lee was dead. The last memory he had was seeing him as he flew away on the chopper back to combat and left his friend. So they became completely disconnected through the carnage of war, and he thought he was dead. But at a church in 1984, I believe we began to sing with Tim probably in the 88, 89 years. A few years before that, a crowd had gathered to honor and celebrate Tim Lee's ministry and his service and sacrifice for our country. And the highlight of the night was when, unknown to Tim, Corporal Gore had been located and was waiting to be reunited with him. And if this video hopefully will play, I want you to see in 4x3, the square box TV, I want you to see the comfort. Paul says, comfort, encourage, edify one another. And I want you to see this taking place between two Marines who gave so much. But I want you to see the edification and the love between two brothers in arms when they are reunited 13 years later.
Thank you. Amen. Oh, well. Oh, you can all be seated.
Adrian Rogers said this, "You're never more like Jesus than when you encourage someone. And you're never more like the devil than when you discourage someone." The people of God need the encouragement from their brothers in arms. I met with some people right after this anniversary, the next day on Monday, who came to me feeling like their legs are being blown off of their life, of their family. I've had multiple meetings this week. I was looking forward to just kind of taking a breath after such a momentous week. It's not been so. Almost every day this week, been with some bodies who are being torn apart by the enemy and being blindsided. And we need to encourage and edify one another. We need to build each other up. We need to show one another grace. We need to show one another affection. We need to show one another patience. Show one another God's love. And lift each other up so that we stay on mission. I want you to look at these scriptures on the screen. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, may the God who gives patience," but that is the word endurance, "and consolation, encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." Why? "So that with one mind and one voice, unified as the army of God, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says that our God is a God of endurance and encouragement. Follow in His steps and stay on mission. Encourage one another. Took a little bike ride this week. Try to just get out, get my heart a little cardiovascular letting off of the pressure. Some of these battles that I was striving to help encourage and counsel and meet with. And I listened to Alistair Begg. More than likely he's preaching 2 hours north of here in Cleveland. And he said this as he's preaching to the body, and it so spoke to my heart, and I want to relay it to you. Listen, he said, "When we begin fighting amongst ourselves," speaking to the church, to the body of Christ, "when we begin fighting amongst ourselves, one thing is for sure, we have lost sight of the mission. When we begin to fight against one another, one thing is for sure, we have lost sight of our mission and our calling for Christ." And so Paul says, encourage one another, stay on mission. And then I want you to see number 5, verse 11b. He says, encourage one another and stay on mission, and then endure with one another and stay on mission. Look what he says in verse 11. He says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another." But then don't you know there's some satisfaction, some gratification here. Look what he says. "Just as also you are doing." Young Thessalonican Christians, I just want you to know I'm proud of you, because you are staying on mission and you are encouraging and edifying one another. You're blessing one another. You're lifting each other up. Good job. Good job. After I preached last Sunday, I saw Janet Thompson out in the hallway, and she relayed to me what Steve Thompson has relayed to me since I was a boy. She grabbed my arm. She said, hey, good job. Really good job. I said, would you go out there and just tell that section and that section? But she encouraged and edified me. And she challenged me and gave me courage that even in weakness, I can endure. I can stay on mission. These are a couple of pictures from the past two Saturdays. And there's the men, full table of our church. There's another picture of us, another Saturday. I look at these guys, and there's my father-in-law, and there's my son Gibbs sitting with him, and Gibbs sits across from Lloyd, my son. My son Lloyd has no idea what a privilege that is. He has no idea what an enduring saint that man is. He's one of the most enduring, faithful men in this body. He's gone through more heart hurts and struggles and loss than most of us put together. And yet every Saturday morning that he is able, he has to sit by David Blamer. And endure. The big challenge is he has to sit across from Chris Horton and endure. One of the guys from our men's breakfast came in yesterday. You see it on his face. He's struggling. He walks in. He says, "Guys, I can't stay." He said, "I've got another appointment." But we're there. Guys start showing up at 6 o'clock. Or earlier, Gibbs and I start showing up about 6:30. We start slugging the coffee. We start encouraging and edifying one another. Ted leads us. Chris opens us up in prayer. Ted gives us a 2-minute devotional. All the guys are envious, wishing I would preach his message on Sundays. And then we break bread together and we just encourage and edify and we endure together. One of our guys came in yesterday. Just burdened. He said, "I can't stay, but I just wanted to come in and see my brothers in the Lord and ask you, would you just bear this burden with me? Would you just pray?" And he stopped in there just for a few moments just to have his arms lifted up by his brothers in the Lord. And it was powerful. And I thought, man, what a testimony. What a testimony that we serve a God of endurance and encouragement. And he's calling us. He's calling these men to stay on mission. And that's what God is calling you to do today. Endure with one another. Stay on mission. Get over yourself. And keep your eyes on the prize. I want you to look at this scripture. And I'm going to pray. Lindsay, you come. The Apostle Paul, again, writing to this young soldier in the Lord, this young preacher, he says, as he's closing up the book, the last book that he would write, before he lays his pen down, he says this to Timothy, "Endure. Son, you are going to have to endure. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then he says this, admonition, "Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them." If we are staying on mission, there are going to be some areas of our lives that we are going to have to say, "I'm not letting that get me off course any longer. I'm going to stay on mission." Last Sunday night, we regathered for Fusion, our young families ministry, and we just edified one another, and Riley closed us out with prayer. But before he prayed, he said, "I just got to say something." And he just spoke from his heart for a couple of minutes, and he said, we really need one another, and we need to keep encouraging one another, challenging one another, being faithful. And man, I went out of that meeting after Josh and Connie just led us in the scriptures and in God's word. I went out of there so edified, so encouraged, so strengthened. And it gave me the courage this week to stay on mission. And I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads and focus in on the Holy Spirit speaking to you in this moment. There's a old hymn that we don't sing much anymore, but hear the words, onward. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. I want to ask you, men, gentlemen, women, ladies, are you engaged? Are you walking in Christ's strength? Do you have the light? And if so, are you encouraging and edifying and enduring with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe you say, I am not on mission because I have never been enlisted. I've never come to the light. I've never been saved. And today, if you are lost and you are off course and you are wondering, Jesus said, come to me. Repent of your sins. Believe on me. Trust in me. Place your faith in me. And he will save you today. And you can do that. We're going to sing a kind of a military-type Christian song that says, I've decided to follow. And if you need to be saved today, you can come down here. I'll pray with you. But maybe there's some brothers and sisters in the Lord today who need to come and just say, I'm off mission. I need to come and receive. And some of these brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you see a brother or sister up here, I encourage you to be up here with them and pray with them. Father, help us, strengthen us to endure. And may we encourage one another and stay on mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing this. Let's sing this. Remember, let's pray with one another.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
I got a text from Eli, and he sent me a long text, and he said, I just want you to know, I'm so fired up, I'm so excited, God is moving in my life. He was up here, give my hand, I mean, he was up here getting baptized last Sunday. I love what he said. He said, my language is changing, my life is changing, My family's changing. My heart is changing. I mean, he was a hero to me this week. And a guy that just, he shut up on Father's Day. His whole world got turned upside down. He was depressed, discouraged, wondering. And here's a guy that now, when I needed it, is encouraging me, edifying, and helping me to endure and stay on mission. I love you for that. I thank you for that. I needed that. And I want to tell you, folks, don't lose hope. You put on that helmet of hope. You put on that breastplate and guard your heart. There's more with us than be with them. Let's say it together. We're on the winning side. We need to do that again. There's more with us than be with them. Here we go. We're on the winning side. You stay on mission. We stay on mission. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We win. We win. We love you. You're dismissed. Give me a hand.